Good morning. Please stand for the reading of the of God's word. Por favor, buenos días, para que se pongan de pie para la lectura de la palabra de Dios. Today we'll be reading from Mark. Yeah, Mark 1, from verse 1 to 13. Estaremos leyendo hoy de Marcos 1, del versículo 1 al 13. Principio del Evangelio de Jesucristo, Hijo de Dios. Como está escrito en Isaías el profeta, he aquí yo envío mi mensajero delante de tu faz, el cual preparará tu camino delante de ti. Voz del que clama en el desierto, preparad el camino del Señor, enderezad sus sendas. Bautizaba Juan en el desierto y predicaba el bautismo de arrepentimiento para el perdón de pecados. Y salían a él toda la provincia de Judea y todos los de Jerusalén, y eran bautizados por él en el río Jordán, confesando sus pecados. Y Juan estaba vestido de pelo de camello y tenía un cinto de cuero alrededor de sus lomos, y comía langostas y miel silvestre. Y predicaba diciendo, «Viene tras mí el que es más poderoso que yo, a quien no soy digno de desatar encorvado la correa de su calzado. Yo a la verdad os he bautizado con agua, pero él os bautizará con Espíritu Santo». Aconteció en aquellos días que Jesús vino de Nazaret de Galilea y fue bautizado por Juan en el río Jordán. Y luego, cuando subía del agua, vio abrirse los cielos y al Espíritu como paloma que descendía sobre él. Y vino una voz de los cielos que decía, «Tú eres mi Hijo amado y en ti tengo complacencia». Y luego el Espíritu le impulsó al desierto. Y estuvo allí en el desierto 40 días y era tentado por Satanás y estaba con las fieras y los ángeles le servían. Esta es la palabra de Dios. This is the word of God.
I realize that for some you're wondering why read it in Spanish. The reason why is we got a lot of Spanish speakers now. And so what we're doing is, in a spirit of hospitality, is that every other Sunday we will be reading it in Spanish, and the next week we'll read it in English and keep going back and forth so that we continue to be a place where all peoples can come and hear the word in their mother tongue. So that's, I know there's questions going through people's heads right now, so I'm just going to cut you off with a pass. All right. Well, as I mentioned before, my intro, or the welcome to the service, we're going to be talking about this idea of being stuck. Whether that be stuck in unhealthy relationships and unhealthy thought patterns, behaviors, unhealthy job scenarios, it doesn't take much to get stuck. Because you constantly always have things coming at us that makes it hard to stay focused on Jesus. And over time, as those things keep happening to us, there is this tendency, if you will, to get in despair a little bit because we can't seem to get out of it. And then we keep trying, and then we try again, and then we beat ourselves up because we can't get over being stuck. And thus begins this circle of unending shame. And beating ourselves up. I ate too much. I ate too much chocolate. I didn't eat enough. Or take your pick. It's very easy to get in that cycle of self-condemnation because I can't get myself unstuck. And then you begin to despair. This happens to me all the time with my diet. Right? I try to eat paleo. I really try. Until I see a Coke. It's game over. The Coke is going to go down my throat. It's the never-ending struggle. Some days are good. Some days are just horrible. And thus you begin to realize, like, what's going to help me? What outside of me is going to be able to give me the strength and the courage to overcome these compulsions, these feelings, these beliefs? Where's the leadership going to come from? Because it's not in me. Then you begin to ask yourself the question, how did we get here in the first place? I mean, what's going on inside of us? And maybe most importantly, we begin to ask the question, how do we get out? How do I get out of this place of being stuck? Well, as we're going to be jumping into the Gospel of Mark throughout a good portion of this year, we're going to be looking at and seeing how it is that Jesus comes to fulfill the vacuum of leadership that has the character and the power and the grace to help a people get unstuck. That he wants to come and immerse himself, his life, into our story, into our brokenness, into our stuckness, and to begin to help a people to flourish as his people, and to help a kingdom begin to become all that it's created to be. Now, for us to experience this good news of his leadership in our lives and his care, we will need to ultimately stay in step with the King. If we want to get the benefits of what he offers, then we need to stay in step with him and let him lead us out of our stuckness. It's that very theme of keeping in step with the King that will be our thematic vision for the whole year. We will keep coming back to this over and over and over again, drilling down. What does that mean? To keep in step with the King. And our hope is that as we journey with Mark and we follow Jesus, we're going to see more and more what it is about Jesus that allows us to trust him, that when he says or calls us to certain things, we can say, I can trust him. I can follow him there, even though I'm terrified of what's next or what that means. And I think in the process, as we kind of re-examine Jesus again, I think we might find ourselves that Jesus may not be what you thought he was like. We might find that he does not make sense at times, and that what he calls us to get unstuck may seem at different times just completely irrational, unreasonable. But regardless, I hope that our encounter with him will result in us seeing Christ for being far more glorious and powerful and gracious and kind and truthful and good. Such that when he asks us to do the unthinkable, and he tells us that it will actually save our lives, that we will have a little bit more courage, a little bit more faith to say, yes, Jesus, I will keep in step with you here. See, it's by his unlimitedness that we can be brought out of our limitations. But see, if we don't see him that way, it's going to be hard for us to believe he can get me out of my limitations, out of my stuckness. Let's pray to that end. Let's pray that this will be the beginning of us seeing Jesus anew, seeing him afresh. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us into your life. Thank you for the witnesses of the Gospels of Mark and Matthew and John and Luke and the references of Paul and all of Scripture that point to you to help us see you so that we might see that you're worth everything and that you truly are the solution to the world. You're the solution to us flourishing in this life. So Lord, we pray, help us to see you today as we engage your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is going on with us when we get stuck? How do we get stuck as human beings? I think the answer is obviously right. The obvious answer is, well, of course, sin and our selfishness or also the impact of being sinned against and the effects those things have on our lives. And of course, these two realities, they play with each other, don't they? It isn't just all my sin and what I do, but it's also my response to being sinned against. And it's this hideous little circle of somehow rationalizing our sinfulness because I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've been taken advantage of. Creating this mess, if you will. Right? We're a mess. Right? We're all a little bit stuck in ourselves. And as we see here that sin messes with us, it puts us in places both internally and externally that make it very hard to get out of our little worlds, our little bubbles of how we think life's supposed to be. See, getting stuck in between these two realities of sin and getting sinned against, everything from verbal, emotional, physical, sexual abuse. You ever wonder why we can't seem to get out of the pattern of those same realities that have happened to us? I was just talking to one of our newest regular attenders who's taken a class on trauma. And we were talking about the reality that of the common trend of when people have experienced unbelievable trauma, that there's, if it's not dealt with, if it's not processed in a healthy way, is that there's a tendency to gravitate back towards those same hurtful, damaging scenarios. So for instance, many of us, right, have we not been totally mystified by the person who has been married 5 times and they marry the same abusive person every time? You ever wonder why that is? And we could go on with all kinds of other examples of how this plays out. But the bottom line is, see, when you get used to being sinned against or you're sinning against others in such a way, after a while, that becomes your normal. You may say to yourself, that person's crazy. Why do they keep marrying this type of person? Because that's what they grew up in. That's their normal. They know the rules of the game there. You put them in a normal relationship and they're like, man, this person, you're kind to me. That's a danger sign. Can't handle kindness. Right? See, it's easy to get stuck because it's not our normal. Healthy isn't normal to us. And oftentimes with that comes this belief that, well, if I enter into a similar circumstance, maybe I could go back into that same scenario and fix it. That what happened 3 or 4 marriages ago, this time, I'll make it okay. I'll fix it. See, it's this underlying belief that somehow I can save ourselves. That we can rescue ourselves from the world and its pain. We see an example of this with Israel. Israel gets freed from Egypt. It's a great day. They cross the Red Sea. They have a big party. Miriam's singing songs, does a little concert. It's going great. And as soon as they see Pharaoh coming, you brought us out here to get killed, Moses. Maybe we should just go back and, man, they've got nice fires there with stew there. Man, we could eat. We won't die. Let's go back. Why? That's their normal. That's their safety. That's where they feel or perceive that they're in control. In our text today, we find Israel is being in a place where they have been stuck for over 300 years. They have been in captivity by Persia, by Babylon, by Greece, and now as we come to our text today, by Rome. For over 300 years, they've been stuck under the thumb of a foreign power and under the influence of foreign gods. And worse yet, they have been stuck in the state of oppression, most importantly, without the voice of God. During this 300-year period, they've not heard a prophet one time. They're starving. They're in despair for, God, have you abandoned us? Are you here? Do you care that we're stuck? And that we can't get out of this mess. That's where we find Israel. Now, they've made great strides. God brought them out of Persia. They rebuilt the temple. They were able to restore their worship. Things look like they're on the up and up. But before long, they begin to realize that the promises of the prophets of restoring the kingdom, that the great king would return and make Israel great again, was not coming to pass. And they begin to despair. They get discouraged, wondering, is there a way out of being stuck? I think many of us can probably relate to this struggle, can't we? My guess is that many of us here, myself included, we come from traditions where we are called back to, let's try again. Let's try again. Maybe if we just try a little harder, the king will come. It'll get better. For instance, the pastor's preaching like we're going to have a rededication today. Come forward. Or we're going to baptize people again and again and again. Thinking that, well, maybe if this time, if we just do it just right and I try a little harder, maybe it'll make things better. This is where Israel is. And so as John the Baptist comes and begins to preach, they look and they think, well, it's time again to try again. And thus we come to verses 2 and 8, or verses 1 through 8, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. You hear that? Finally, God is speaking. Good. And he's calling us to repent. I can do that. Baptize me. What do I got to do? How do I get unstuck? Just tell me. Jump on one foot. What is it? See, they think they're going in the same pattern that they're used to, that they've been through over and over again. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, the way in which God gets us unstuck is that he immerses himself into the human story. He immerses himself into the human story. Israel is here, and they're thinking, man, we don't have a story anymore. God has abandoned us. He's not speaking anymore. We're not hearing him. And then out of nowhere, boom, comes John the Baptist in a weird place, because usually the prophet would speak at the temple. But this time he's out in the wilderness, in the desert, in the croggy, hot, in an uninhabitable place, calling people to repentance. But regardless, the people are excited. They realize, wait a minute, he's saying things that the prophets used to say before. That one would come, a messenger would come and would prepare the way. And he would speak in the wilderness. And thus you begin to see that God is still connected to their story. He's not left their story, even though they've been separated from it for nearly over 300 years. See, these were texts that the people of Israel were very familiar with. It was their ultimate hope, was to hear that he was returning. And that's what the first passage, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and Isaiah 43, are all referring to this great hope that shows what? That God is faithful. He is patient. And he will return to his people. He will come and restore them and save them from themselves. Now on the surface, right, it may seem like just another call to repentance, another altar call. A time to come get baptized again. To get ourselves together before God. Just be patient for a second. They'll help her here in a second. Verse 4, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But see, these Old Testament passages are major indicators that something's coming. But there's a twist here with John the Baptist. Because see, he calls them out of Jerusalem, away from the temple, where the cleansings normally happened. They were to come to the temple. But no, he says, no, come out of there. And he takes them to the Jordan River and he bathes them. He gives them a baptism for the cleansing of their sins. But notice the next part here. This is the real twist. He says, he acknowledges that he is not the source of their freedom. He's telling them, guys, I'm not the one. I can't unstick you. In fact, I'm right here with you. I need to be unstuck. And so great is this one who's coming after me that I'm lower than a slave that I could not even untie his sandal. That's what that term means, that he's not worthy to untie the sandal of Jesus. I'm less than a slave. That's how powerless, that's how weak and unable I am. So John there is standing with them saying, I'm just like you. I'm powerless. And there's nothing back in Jerusalem, there's nothing back at the temple that's going to set you free. And guess what? Neither am I. But we wait on the one who can. I baptize you with water. It does nothing to you. It's just water. It makes you clean. The one who comes baptizing the Holy Spirit, who will not only wash you on the outside, but he will cleanse you on the inside. That which ultimately gets us all stuck. It's what's going on in the heart. So John points away from himself and he points to Jesus. See, our story, your story, my story of renewal and getting unstuck starts at the point of our powerlessness. You hear that? Your point of renewal and freedom starts at the point of your powerlessness. When you have to admit with John, who Jesus said was the greatest prophet ever, when we say, I got nothing. I can't even help myself. That's where it starts. Can you believe that? That's where your renewal starts. This is where God the Father starts with your story. Just like he starts with Israel, when their story, here they are, powerless. They can't set themselves free. They went from one empire to the next. They can never do it. They're just like you and I. And the same is true for us. He starts at your story, and your story isn't the part where it's like, man, that just turned out great. Good for you. Big stars. No. Jesus starts where you failed. In your utter brokenness. That's where God starts. But isn't it beautiful to know he's right there? God is not walking away from your most jacked up, sinful, perverted hearts. He does not run away. He says, I'm right here. Amen. I'm right here. I've never left you. I'm still in your story. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's good news for all of us, that no matter how jacked up you are, it's never a place that Jesus can't go to get a hold of you. One of the best ways I've ever experienced this in my life was when my son, my oldest boy, went through a very, very difficult time. Was in a hospital for an entire summer. And found myself at times wondering, is my son ever going to get better? Is he going to ever walk out of there? And, you know, I was pastoring at that time, and you're trying to keep a good face on, trying to keep pastoring your church, keep trying to love people. And I think what was happening was during that time, it was like a slow pressure cooker building inside. And then one Saturday, we went to go visit him, and we're listening to the doctors, and they're telling us the different scenarios and where he's at. And I get home, and all of a sudden, I just realized I cannot fix my son. I can't guarantee that he's going to live. And I just began to weep like I have never cried in my life. Like uncontrollable, convulsing, fetal position tears. Because God had brought me to the place of absolute powerlessness. I couldn't win. I had nothing to offer. No hope to give. Wasn't too much longer after that, God began to open doors. Stuff started happening all around us. And it was almost like God was just saying to me, yeah, I just kind of needed to get there. I just needed you to realize you were not going to fix this. I was. Man, I wish I could have learned that a lot earlier. That was a painful cry. But it was a good lesson. And it's a lesson I keep finding myself being brought back to over and over and over again. Secondly, Jesus, the Son of God, immerses himself into our story as well. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to be able to get through all this. I'll pick it up next week. Is that okay? All right. All this to say, friends, as we close here, I don't care where you're at. And most importantly, most obviously, God doesn't care. There are things that God knows about you that if somebody told, you would run screeching out of here, that you'd be so horrified that somebody would know that about you. Not Jesus. Not God. That's where his story begins, with you. So as we've now come to offer our first fruits of our offerings, as we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, please, give yourself a break, because Jesus has, right? That you come as broken and messed up as you are, and I promise you, he's here, and he's going to meet you there. And then next week, as we kind of finish up the rest of the sermon, you'll see how it is that Jesus will begin that process of entering into our most darkest spots, and from the inside out begin to explode power and love and grace and hope, which will not only make us unstuck, but if we're willing to follow, to go to places we never thought possible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning just for your word. Thank you for helping us to see, even in the ministry of John the Baptist, Lord, that there is no part of our story, no part of our brokenness, our failure, our repetitive failure, that you do not know about and that can keep you away. There is no time, no place, no circumstance that keeps you from loving your people and seeking to bring redemption to us. Lord, as we come now to offer our first fruits, all we can say is, man, thank you for your amazing grace, that you didn't leave us alone, that you were persistent, that you were faithful, that you were patient to keep pursuing us. And Lord, as we come now to the Lord's table, would you bless these fruits, these offerings that we present to you, so that you might use these resources to help us further proclaim the good news of the kingdom in the most broken of places, the most broken of hearts and of minds. so that people might know that you are willing to enter into where they are. Use it for that purpose, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.